Long before Detroit was known for its cars and for its music, the city was legendary for one thing: frog legs. In the early 1900s, Detroit restaurants offered just about any variation imaginable. Frog leg salad, frog ravioli, even frog pie. People were crazy for them, and President Grover Cleveland even called them his favorite meal. Well, contributor Fred Opie spoke to Detroit food historian Bill Loomis for the story.
Well, Bill, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
So tell me, what role did frog legs play in turn of the century Detroit?
They were a really important source of money and food in Detroit. Detroit was known across the country as the place to get frog legs. Detroit-style frog legs were highly prized.
You know, if you think about Detroit frog legs and where they came from, would you say it's a case of working-class culture making its influence on white tablecloth restaurants, or vice versa, you know, bottom-up or top-down?
Yeah, that's a great question. It was bottom-up, but it was a carryover from the French days of Detroit, and it was sort of the last vestige of French cuisine. So all of the fishing was done, or most of the fishing was done professionally by French Canadians. And it constituted a portion of the diet that included other wild game like muskrat and freshwater fish like perch and stuff like that. But that's where it really came from. There weren't French chefs. In fact, if you look at the display ads in the Detroit papers from the turn of the century, they'll say in the hotels, our frog legs taste just like roadhouse frog legs. And the roadhouses were where you know, it was fairly rough and rugged type of food, very casual, and not at all formal, not your white tablecloth stuff.
You know, it was interesting when I looked at a longer piece that you did on the same topic that you said that Detroit had this reputation of shipping something like 12 tons of frog legs. I mean, that was hard for me to wrap my mind around. That's unbelievable. Is it a mom and pop industry, or did it become kind of an industrial food factory?
You know, it started out strictly as kind of a wild game mom and pop thing where people, like I said, French Canadian men would go out, and families would go out and hunt frog legs and bring them into the restaurants and the roadhouses. But after a while, if you look at the old Wall Street journals, they talk about the industry, and it was a national industry, but they were done on farms, frog farms. And the number, I thought it was eye-popping myself, but if you look at interviews of restaurants in Detroit, they did a lot of press coverage on frog legs. People were always kind of curious about it. But they would do 1,000 dozen a week during the season, which ran from April all the way to or through October, depending how warm it was. So they were doing, I estimated, roughly 200,000 to 400,000 frog legs per restaurant. And there were hundreds of these places, roadhouses, hotels, restaurants that were selling frog legs. They also were shipping them to Chicago and to the East Coast, so they weren't just consuming all those frog legs.
Was there something distinctive about how you would make frog legs or prepare frog legs in Detroit versus the places where they were shipping to, say, a place like New York? Any sense of that?
You know, there was. Detroit-style frog legs were nationally famous. In fact, Grover Cleveland's favorite dish was Detroit-style frog legs. They were basically very simple. They would roll them in egg wash and then roll them in cracker crumbs and fry them in butter. Those were called roadhouse style. Other styles were cooked in butter and fried, but they might add tomatoes or mushrooms or something like that. But generally, it was very simple.
So, Bill, frog legs were, you know, the in thing at the turn of the century. What
right.
happened?
You know, that's what's so amazing about this, Fred, is that they just overloved them. Like a lot of other wild animals, turtles and things like that, they just ate them till they were gone. So they moved from Detroit, the source of them, to Wisconsin, and then they overfished that. But also the water quality went way down. With the industrialization of Detroit, suddenly the river was changing, and that sort of killed it as well. But what's interesting is if you talk to people that are, say, over 40 or 50, many of them have memories of eating frog legs at a lot of restaurants in these places along the Detroit River still. If you talk to younger people, they've never had them. Not only that, they're kind of repulsed at the whole idea of eating them. So you have this huge gap that happened over just a few decades.
So are, you know, there's a lot of things that are becoming resurgent on the table, and I hear great things about new chefs coming into Detroit, particularly because it's a lot less expensive to set up a pop-up or a brick-and-mortar place. Are you seeing them back on the menu?
I do see them. I don't know if it's a resurgence like it is at the same level as we're seeing all the restaurants opening in Detroit, but definitely there are places in Detroit that are selling them. The resurgence, oddly enough, started out of Windsor, Ontario, across the river, and they're seeing a lot of popularity in frog legs, so we're kind of hoping it'll spill over to Detroit.
Well, Bill, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Fred.
Bill Loomis is the author of Detroit's Delectable Past and Detroit Food. His article, When Frogs Were King, appeared in the 2014 edition of Our Detroit. Food historian Fred Opie is author of Hog and Hominy. Now, if you're inspired to give those frog legs a try, we've posted a recipe for traditional Detroit frog legs and the Leaping Frog cocktail. It's on the website, splendidtable.org. And by the way, anything you can do with a frog's leg, you can do with a chicken wing.